Welcome to Alameda Community Radio's News and Views. I'm your host, Susan Gallimore, and I'll be with you for this view into the workings and goings-on in our city of Alameda. That's the sound of Occupy San Francisco on Market Street near Embarcadero BART. It was an end-of-day mode when I dropped by after the morning protest outside Wells Fargo Bank that attracted as many as 1,500 people, many of whom stopped off before going to work to show their support of this expression of the nationwide event. The mood was relaxed, with a handful of policemen loitering behind a metal barricade that bordered a narrow section of sidewalk where pedestrians, occupiers, and street people mingled. I met Michael and Sharon, who presided over the food station. Michael explained why he is participating.
I'm here because I feel like it's my duty to come here and help out in any way that I can. I feel comfortable doing this duty in the kitchen, facilitating food to people, making sure that we're organized, keeping it off the floor. It's just something that I feel comfortable doing, and also riding the bike, doing whatever I can, picking up garbage, but just being active in that way. Any part, I like the camaraderie. As far as why I feel that we need to be here, I think it's pretty obvious there needs to be a change, and this is the first step in that.
I'm the same way, because you need a change, and I came in because I have abilities to do something when I see it, and we care about the health of everybody. That's why we're here at the food, making sure that it's done in a healthful manner and sanitary and that everyone gets fed.
The food is donated by individuals and local businesses, and whomever is hungry can help themselves. The selection changes according to what is donated, and at the time I was there, offerings included trail mix and oranges, apples, bananas, and carrots from a large bowl. Someone delivered an extra large pizza while I talked to Michael and Sharon, and I intended to take a slice, but all the slices had gone by the time I was ready to eat.
And this morning there was a visit to Wells Fargo?
Correct. They were very successful in their endeavor there. I wasn't here in the morning. I was working, but as soon as I got off of work, I came here. That's my schedule. So I usually don't get to catch the really good things because I have to, you know, I do my part, then I got to go home and get some sleep. Anybody who wants to come down here, if you just want to do moral support, hold a sign, ride the bike for energy, help in the kitchen, everything's appreciated.
Ride the bike for energy.
It's hooked up to a generator, and what we do is we charge our batteries, and then we run the media station directly off the bike, as we're charging a battery, or it's a really interesting dynamic that we have here. It's wonderful.
It's green.
Yeah, it is green.
That was Michael, who mentioned he liked riding the bike, and I was curious about this. I wandered over, and I found Jesse James Phillips pedaling on a stationary bicycle set up near the table holding the media center. This is 3 laptops, a few cell phones, and lots of cables. There's also Wi-Fi hotspots from this.
I'm pedaling to power our website. We're streaming a live video to anybody back home, and just keeping people informed on the website of what's going on here at Occupy San Francisco.
And how long have you been at it?
Probably for about 10 minutes now.
And you do it a couple of times a day, or what?
Absolutely. Well, we all trade off. Whenever one of us gets tired, then someone else jumps up here and powers everything for a little while.
I talked to James Cox Garrity, who explained the technology.
So what we have, essentially, is a bike donated from Rock the Bike. It stands about 6 inches from the ground, and there's a little motor behind it. So when the wheel spins, the motor spins. What we do that, we have it directly connected to a battery. And then what we do with those batteries, we connect inverters. And with those inverters, we plug in our machines. But we actually had a technical engineer come down and show us to do a more efficient way. Because we're turning 12 volts into 115 AC, and then turning it back a lot of the time for cell phones to 5 volts. So we wasted a lot of energy. So somebody was smart enough to come down, recognize that problem, and created his own box where you could plug in 4 USB things and charge your phone and go from 12 volts to 5 volts instead of, you know, the middle process that we hadn't yet figured out. So the system's getting better and more complicated. We had another engineer come today and help us, you know, explain long-term what we're going to be doing or should be doing. So right now it's really basic, but it's definitely getting there, and we have people coming down who really want to help build the system, because I kind of think we're leading the way to a better future by actually doing it.
So there's some kind of a backup battery or something where this is stored?
We have a couple batteries. We had a generator before, but we have talked to the police, and they've told us we would have to get a permit from the fire department. It is the law. It is a fire hazard here at the moment. He only said that as a recommendation. The fire department, we could get him to get down here, but he said with your organization and things lying around, it's such a fire hazard. You know, they would instantly see that and recognize that. But if you guys were organized, you know, aware of your stuff, kind of had things tidy, they might consider it. So at the moment, we don't have backup. We literally have somebody on the bike almost 24/7. It's quite an intense system. You know, we go for maybe 5 minutes without it, and then we do a big shout-out. Who wants to volunteer for the bike? And with that, we power maybe 3 laptops at a time. We have the box that I was telling you about to do the cell phones, which also power the Wi-Fi hotspots. We have 3 of those. And so we're pretty much connected here. For the short amount of time we've had, I think we pulled it together.
Then the human microphone call and response system spontaneously erupted nearby.
How many?
How many?
American?
American?
Soldiers?
Soldiers?
Have died?
Have died?
In total?
In total?
In both?
In both?
Iraq?
Iraq?
And Iran?
And Iran?
No, sorry, Iran's next. Iraq and Afghanistan.
Oh.
How many?
About 9,000.
9,000. Mic check.
Mic check.
Mic check.
Mic check.
9,000.
9,000.
American soldiers have died.
What about the rest of the people? They don't count.
That question is close to my heart. What about the rest of the people? Don't they count? Even as a military mom, my family member was in the military for 8 years, but I was so incensed that we were focusing so much on American deaths that I collected stories into a book about the rest of the people who do count too. My book is called Long Time Passing, Mothers Speak About War and Terror, and it's available from the website motherspeak.org, motherspeak.org. You read the book, you'll hear about families in Iraq, Afghanistan, Lebanon, Israel, Palestine, also Iraqis displaced to Syria, as well as stories of American families. Again, the book is Long Time Passing, Mothers Speak About War and Terror, and it's available from the website motherspeak.org. If you purchase it from the website, you also help us keep on air. Every little bit counts, and all of the donations for the book go to keeping this work going. And I'm Susan Gallimore, this time sharing voices from Occupy San Francisco at the end of a day that began with about 1,500 people blockading access to Wells Fargo Bank in San Francisco. I approached EJ and Kevin Lash on the sidewalk.
I don't go by my name. I use my initials, EJ.
Okay, EJ.
That's a drink. But I came to San Francisco 12 and a half years ago because I knew where I wanted to die.
Where did you come from?
The dead end of USA. It was sea level and lowest vibrations on Earth. I came from Florida.
All right. And your name?
Kevin Lash, K-E-V-I-N.
And what are you doing here, Kevin?
I'm here to occupy and to change the world and at the same time observe and get the feeling as much as possible as I can that is portrayed through the group of people here and write music about it. I've been here for 6 days, day and night.
How's everything going?
Well, I'm really stinky, and I need a shower, but I've been here for so long, I know a lot more of the issues. I'm pretty well versed now, and I'm stoked to be part of the change, you know.
Have you taken your turn on the bicycle?
Yeah, I've taken my turn on the bicycle. It's pretty difficult to go for a long time and keep it up there at 400 watts or whatever they wanted at, but it's cool. It's a cool little machine.
And EJ, you've been coming down on occasion?
Well, I come down here, I'm 88 years old, and I come down here to support these young kids because they need support. And us older people can have an opportunity to support them and stand by them and let them know they're not alone.
Awesome.
So is this the first time that you've been involved in social change in your life, or have you been engaged elsewhere?
Oh, no. Ever since I came to San Francisco, I've been arrested 3 times because us veterans went to the federal building and protested against these wars, and they arrested 21 of us. So, but, you know, at my age, I'm too old to change, I'm too young to die, I'm too poor to survive, so F it.
Are you a vet for peace?
Yes. The trouble is, we haven't seen the worst yet. I know it's going to come, but what can I do?
Well, you're doing a lot coming down here and supporting.
Yeah.
Kevin, when EJ says we haven't seen the worst yet, what do you think of that?
Well, I know that as our numbers increase, that the cops are going to start being on edge a lot more. Like right now, they're pretty relaxed just because it's been peaceful. But in times when there's like 1,000 people here for a rally or something, it's going to get a little bit crazy, and people are going to get arrested. Like one guy has been hurt. And they're taking away things that the federal government didn't care about before, like the pot clubs here. You know, that's gonna get worse. Like, those are shut down right now, and people need those as medicine, like legitimate medicine. So there's things to get a lot worse.
I'm capable of understanding what they're going through, what our country is going through, but most Americans are in denial. The reason they're in denial is because in 2000 in Florida, I was the first time I registered to vote since the Vietnam War. And what happened? They never counted my vote. See, because I was living in West Palm Beach, Florida, when the dangling Chad. I'm one of those. I saw the handwriting on the wall then, because the Republicans came out with a two-word slogan. The first word, you accept freedom, and the second word they planted in your head, fear. What you have to do is mentally free yourself from fear, but they can't do that. They're walking around in denial, holding on to that word fear.
I agree. People have been controlled for their entire life. For as long as I know, the history books have taught me, everybody's always been controlled by some form or another. It's just that it's getting too, like, the control is tightening now, and there's a lot more at stake, and people need to be aware of what's at stake, and break loose of their fear. Like he said, life is too short to be afraid of anything, and especially when life could be shortened dramatically because of it.
I have a saying: to fear the unknown is the strongest fear you know.
There was EJ and Kevin Lash on the sidewalk at Occupy San Francisco at the end of a day that started with about 1,500 people protesting outside Wells Fargo Bank. Zoe Dutuili is an organizer with Occupy San Francisco.
Okay, well, I personally am here because, as I'm sure everybody said, the majority of us are not happy with the higher powers running us. We feel as though our voices haven't been heard, and we find it absolutely ridiculous that the highest 1% has more money than the rest of us. We feel like we've been betrayed by people who are supposed to be protecting us. We wake up at 7 because of the sit lie law. And we start protesting. We have signs. We'll start, like, saying chants a lot. I personally am in charge of the events or the schedule. So I've been scheduling workshops and Skillshares and discussions. So if anybody wants to teach something or guide something, or if they're interested in learning about something, we'll talk about it, and I'll put it up on the schedule board, which is right over there in the main circle. Every morning at 9, we have a logistics meeting for Camp Logistics. Then at 10, there's a meeting, communications meeting. We had yoga today. We had nonviolent action yesterday. Know your rights yesterday. There was a legal working group meeting to talk about permits. And then there's General Assembly at 6 every day.
Zoe says the group gets up at 7 a.m. because of the sit lie law. Now, you may recall that voters, San Francisco voters, approved the sit lie law last November, and the law makes it illegal to hang out on San Francisco sidewalks between 7 a.m. and 11 p.m. each day. Police issue warnings the first time. Then after that, they begin to issue tickets that start at $50 and could easily escalate up to $500 or even end up with time in jail. Clearly, this is to discourage people from hanging out on the street, street people and so on, and they're taking the brunt of this this new sit lie law. And, of course, it's also applied to the Occupy San Francisco group when the police feel like it's time to do that. I attended this General Assembly that Zoe mentions, so stay tuned for that segment towards the end of the show. First, though, I talked to Zoe about the police attempt to break up the group the previous week.
It was hard for us because there's an issue, I think, within most of the occupations where it's separated between people who are saying, we're here to occupy, let's occupy. If they tell us to take down their tents, we need our tents because it's raining, and that's a basic human need, so we're not going to do that. So let's keep the stuff here, circle around it, and protect our stuff because we have a right to be here. And then there's the other people that say, if the cops are saying we need to get our stuff out of here because we don't have a permit for whatever reason, let's just get our stuff out of here. It's about our bodies and us being here. So there's constantly discord and arguing about that. That night was really intense because everybody was kind of just yelling at each other and we couldn't come to a consensus. We decided to have this as a consensus kind of thing. So that's chaotic. And we know every time, it sucks because we know that the cops are really just trying to break us. They're not, I mean, if it's raining, like, we need tarps up. We can't have our computers getting wet. We can't get wet. We have people who are sick and they're just absolutely, like, they just don't care. They're just like, no. So they're trying to break us because they don't want us to be here, in my opinion.
Right.
So it's really, really frustrating, and it's hard to get everybody on the same page with what we're going to do. So we end up just arguing for hours, and then usually at the end, they'll be like, okay, never mind, you're fine. Or, like, half of the people will, like, pick up a bunch of stuff and put it in vans, and we'll get most of it out of here. And they're like, okay, it's fine. You can leave the rest here. Okay. That night, they ended up coming in. They told us it'd be fine if we just took the tents down. And they came in anyway and stole a bunch of our shit, which we got back. But
people were hurt?
Two people got hurt. Our one friend got arrested for resisting arrest and assaulting an officer with a deadly weapon, which I don't know if you heard. He had sage in his hand. And also, when you burn sage and it's black, if you smudge it on somebody's skin, it's supposed to, like, help heal them and whatever. So he was doing that. He was about to do that to a cop, and they freaked out and arrested him, smashed him down on the ground. Like one of them had his knee on his head. It was really, like, frightening for us.
That was Zoe Dutuili, an organizer for Occupy San Francisco. So after I talked with Zoe, who told me about that the General Assembly was about to begin, I wandered over. It happens a little ways from the encampment towards the ferry building. And I found a facilitator explaining various signs and signals to communicate with group members when necessary. I also then noticed Father Louis Vitali at the edge of the group. Father Louis Vitali is a well-known face in San Francisco and the nation. He's engaged in civil disobedience for nearly 4 decades in pursuit of peace and justice, and he's been arrested more than 200 times. Father Louis Vitali says that St. Francis, Gandhi, and Martin Luther King Jr. are his inspirations.
Very interested in the whole occupation process that's going on all over the country, whether it's Wall Street or Market Street. San Francisco is what this one's called. There's one in Oakland. And, we all have great distress and concern about where our country, where our world is going. And since we're kind of like the new empire out there, we need to stop that process. And I'm particularly interested in, like, nuclear warfare and nuclear arms race. I've been opposing that for many, many years, ever since I got out of the Air Force. Martin Luther King said, it's nonviolence or non-existence. He was referring primarily to nuclear weapons, but it's also true of the environment, and it's true of capitalism. I think that the corporatism is really what's running our country and destroying it. The people that have these huge corporations, they don't belong to any country. They're offshore kind of things. Their only goal is to become billionaires, maybe to see who's going to be the first trillionaire. I mean, it's really totally out of control. But because of the cost of running elections, they control all the candidates. I personally believe that that's a great problem with our present president, who I think is probably a great man and under different circumstances would not have the troubles he's having, but he's under the control of the people who elected him. And already he's raising $1 billion for a campaign. How do you do that without getting it from the corporations?
Now, recently, Father Vitale has been involved in trying to raise awareness about issues of torture and the U.S. involvement in it. And for that good work, he was arrested. And he also was arrested at Creech Air Force Base in 2009 while engaged in protesting unmanned aerial vehicles or drones that are being used so consistently now in Pakistan. And also, of course, we're seeing the same thing going on in Yemen. Father Vitale joined the Freedom Gaza March in November 2009. He also crossed the line at Fort Benning to protest the U.S. Army School of Assassins, also known as, or recently changed name, it used to be School of the Americas, recently changed its name to Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation. Father Louis served 6 months in a U.S. federal prison for that action.
This is a grassroots effort to, and not in the major political process, to try to bring about change, and I think it's very important. I believe that for a long time we've had a nonviolent movement going on of coming more and more from the grassroots, and it's also spreading around the world, but I think it's reaching a new level here. I was here when this happened 10 years ago when the war started. We shut down the financial district and all that, and it really was making progress. 30 million people around, you know, U.S., Europe, etc., went out into the streets to stop the war, but it just wasn't enough. So can we get enough people power to match off with the, you know, the nuclear power, et cetera, on the other side?
That's you've seen the bicycle set up over there, too.
Yeah,
that's kind of a metaphor, isn't it?
Sure, of course it is. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting that bicycles are you know, the alternate driving cars, but they're also the alternate to you know, power plants and so forth, you know, using human exercise. I think it's great.
You're listening to Father Louis Vitale at Occupy San Francisco, where I found him observing the Occupy San Francisco group's evening general assembly. As I mentioned, Father Louis is well known in San Francisco and nationally for his nearly four decades in pursuit of peace and justice, for which he has been arrested more than 200 times, most recently spending 6 months in federal prison for protesting the U.S. Army School of Assassins or the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation, previously called the School of the Americas. I asked Father Louis about his stand against the School of the Americas or the School of Assassins that landed him in a federal prison for six months.
First off, at the School of the Americas, we were objecting to the fact that we're helping Latin American countries learn how and use torture. But then we found with Abu Ghraib that we're doing the torture, too, and we do. So I think it's all this form of militarism, torture, domination of people. You know, whenever we are dominating people, I think we have crossed the boundary of how we need to live as human beings. And we just have to say, not in my name is one of the labels we use sometimes. And I think that we've got to stand up and say no. And that's what democracy does. And when empires fall, when people say no.
As you mentioned, the protests against the war 10 years ago kind of continued. But what we're seeing here, I think that's a little different and really heartwarming, is a lot of younger folks.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, they are. Well, because, the domination by the empire is touches everybody's life. The war is, and the militarism in the war is the backup for it, you know, so that those who are taking advantage of it can get their way, I suppose.
Yes.
And people are. I mean, it's exciting to see. But see, they were 10 years ago, too. And it petered out. Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? And you know, that next move was difficult.
Well, it's great to see you.
Well, good
Thank
to see you,
you so
again.
Much for spending
Thank
some
you.
Time
oh,
with
my
us.
Pleasure.
And we'll see you again.
That was Father Louis Vitali, an unexpected and welcome interview at the evening General Assembly meeting for Occupy San Francisco. About 50 people attended the assembly, where the facilitator explained different hand signals for communicating in a large group at tense moments, and also shared general news and skills about what to do if you're arrested and so forth. So that all of that happens at these General Assembly meetings, which occur, I believe, twice a day. Alameda Community Radio and News and Views will stay with the protests going on around the San Francisco Bay Area and the world. News outlets are publishing pictures of actions all over the globe, from South Korea to Bosnia, from New York to New Zealand, and everything in between. Alameda Community Radio and News and Views will be at the Oakland March, organized by Danny Glover and others, and we'll bring voices from that event. I'm your host, Susan Gallimore, a host of News and Views, and please go to the website, AlamedaCommunityRadio.org, to stay up with what is happening in the Bay Area, to listen to our other shows. We've done several shows now, so go there and listen to them. Download them. You can take them with you in your iPod or whatever you need to do. Let's go out with sounds from Occupy San Francisco.
You have been crooked?